Hey guys, hope you're enjoying today's online experience. Make sure to follow us on social media at Water's Edge Gathering on Facebook and on Instagram at Water's Edge_LC. And if you have a mobile device, make sure to look inside your app store and download the church app. And within the church app, you'll be able to search for Water's Edge Gathering. From there, you can do online giving, you can listen to worship, and you can replay any of Pastor Tony's messages. So right now, I need you to sit back, relax, and enjoy a word from Pastor Tony.
Today we celebrate and honor some very special heroes in our society, our mothers. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to those of you who are expecting your first child. Happy Mother's Day to those of you who are expecting your next child. Happy Mother's Day to those of you who are currently spoiling your grandchildren in the best way possible. Happy Mother's Day to those of you who are amazing stepmoms. And happy Mother's Day to those of you who were raised up with love, nurture, wisdom, and guidance, and therefore you raised us up with love, nurture, wisdom, and guidance. We love you all. Also, for those of you who are in mourning today because of a loss of a child or the loss of a grandchild or maybe an estrangement with a child, or for those of you who have been told that you cannot have children at this point in your life, we at the Water's Edge love you, we stand with you, we laugh with you, and we also weep and mourn with you. One thing's for sure, God is love and we love you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to our Sunday morning online experience. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, I thought would be a good time to finally talk about relationships. I know a lot of you have been stuck together for the last couple of months. It seems like we're on day 9,048 of this quarantine zombie outbreak. So some of you may be at each other's throats. Some of you may have realized things about your relationships that's been exposed to you. So today, I thought I would help you out. Have you ever wondered why some relationships seem to be so difficult? Have you ever wondered why other relationships seem to be so frustrating? A romantic relationship, a love relationship, a family relationship that always seems to clash, a friendship with a coworker, or whoever it may be, any type of relationship. It seems like some relationships last for a long time. In other relationships, it seems like they're good at first, but then after a few months, they end. Or after a few years, they end. Some friendships, some work relationships, so many family relationships and dynamics and love relationships can be the source of peace, hope, safety, and joy. In fact, I'll tell you this. When you meet someone in this life that just seems to be so peaceful and they seem to be so settled and so grounded, chances are they've learned some relationship skills. Chances are they've learned to love other people properly. Chances are they've learned to set healthy boundaries, and so they have healthy relationships in their life. And so those relationships are sources of joy and peace and happiness. But sometimes you meet people and they always seem annoyed. They always seem frustrated. They always seem upset. They always seem angry. They always seem at the end of their rope. Many times the thing behind the thing is a relationship that's either immature, toxic, or it's hurting both of you or just one of you in that situation. And so it causes people to have this source of frustration, deep frustration in their life. We long for, we desire, we ache for, we chase after in this life loving and meaningful and fulfilling relationships, and all kind of relationships, really. I'm not just talking about romantic relationships, but chances are during this virus shutdown, many of you have also realized something else. Not only do you have a craving and a longing in your soul for romance and romantic relationships, but also just basic friendships and any other type of relationships. We miss hanging out together. We miss serving together. We miss going out to eat together. We miss having parties together. We miss worshiping together, and so on. So many people today are looking for meaningful relationships because relationships are important to you and I. This is why God said in the beginning that it was not good for us to be alone. The great problem that God was dealing with in the beginning was not how to populate the world. The great problem that God was dealing with in the beginning was loneliness. Some scientists say that the feeling of loneliness is second to only losing a loved one to death. It's an awful feeling. And so God knows when we struggle with this that we're hurting. And so God said that it was not good for us to be alone. And so on the inside of us, there's this chase, there's this pursuit, there's this desire to have very meaningful and fulfilling relationships in our life. In Proverbs, wisdom tells us this, Proverbs 29:11 out of the New Living Translation, "Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back." Has anyone ever given you this type of advice? Man, don't hold anything in. Be honest. Communicate. Let it out. Get it out. Talk about it. Get it off your chest. Sometimes that can be very, very dangerous. While communicating to the other person or people in your life is so key, if you think that always unleashing your emotions because some of them may be immature is healthy, then you're always gonna live in relationship conflict. Wisdom teaches us this. Sometimes you don't have to say everything that you think, and sometimes you don't always have to express everything that you feel. Fools feel their emotions rising up on the inside of them, the book of Proverbs says, and they let it out. But wisdom always holds it back. If you're an emotionally mature person, then you learn to do this with your emotions. Hold them back. If you're still with me, Sam's still with you. Paul said it this way, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too." Philippians 2, 3 through 4. According to Paul, people who thrive in relationships, people who find joy in relationships, people who find satisfaction in relationships are humble people who've learned this art. They learn to focus on the interests and the needs of other people first, and they put their interests and their needs second. And this is what I mean. Emotionally immature people always focus on what they want first, which is why they get angry all the time. They get angry because they don't get what they want when they want. Angry people are immature people emotionally. But people who find happiness and peace in their relationships know this. They know to flip it around just like Jesus. And this is what I mean. This is how you and I are born. This is how you and I live. This is how you and I conduct our lives. This is natural for us to focus on our interests and our needs and our wants first and the other people in our life second. But people who live in thriving relationships, peaceful relationships, long-lasting relationships, they've learned this art and they've mastered this discipline because this discipline is Christ-like. They've learned to put the needs of others before their very own needs and they focus on their interests first, just like Jesus did when he went to the cross. There's a story in the Gospel of Matthew, and it's right before Jesus is arrested, put on trial, and then eventually murdered as he's sentenced to death to die in public by crucifixion. And so Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, right before all of this happens, is hanging out with his disciples, and he's reminding them that when we go to Jerusalem, I'm gonna have to face all of these dark things. I'm gonna have to go through suffering and pain and hurt. I'm gonna die, but then after that, I'll rise again on the third day. Well, all Peter heard was this, "You're gonna go away." All Peter heard was there's gonna be suffering and pain and torment and death and persecution. And so Peter, immediately begins to speak what's on his mind. He immediately has these emotions and these very sincere thoughts that's just swimming in his mind, and he immediately just wants to get it off of his chest. He has this emotional outburst, and like we see in the story, Jesus lets him know that it's a very emotionally immature outburst. Because this is what Peter says. He starts thinking, man, if this is true, this is gonna disrupt my way of life. If this is true, this is gonna disrupt our way of life. We're not used to this, and so this can't happen. And so this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna correct Jesus. Jesus is saying all of these things that's gonna disrupt our life. I'm not ready for any of that. None of this sits well with me. I have some thoughts about this. I have some opinions about this, and I think Jesus needs to know. And so I'm gonna let him know. I'm gonna speak my mind. And so he basically rebukes Jesus, says, Jesus, don't talk like that. Well, Jesus knew that this was his calling to go to the cross, to atone for the sins and be the sacrifice for you, sacrifice for me, and to be the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, to put the interest of me and you and everyone in the world first and his interest second. This was his calling. This was his mission. And so basically, this is what he has to tell Peter. Peter, you're acting just like a little devil. You're so emotionally immature that you can't see clear right now, and you're acting just like an accuser. You're so negative. And so I'm telling you to get behind me with all of that emotional immaturity.
From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law, that Jesus would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. "Heaven forbid, Lord," Peter said. "This will never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me. You're only seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's." Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus were here today and somehow we invited him into our home for a week with full access, and he would observe our relationships, our love, our forgiveness, our arguments, conflict, our emotions. I wonder how many times he would have to pull us aside and say, "You're kind of acting like a little devil. You're trying to emotionally manipulate others just to get your selfish point across. This is emotional immaturity."
Relationships grow so peaceful when two people are emotionally mature enough to understand that it takes commitment to settle into that relationship. You must have heard 1,000 times that a healthy relationship requires trust, communication, and being compatible. But there's another key that is so crucial. There's another key that so many people miss out on. And when they miss out on this key, it causes so much wreckage and so much damage in their relationships. And this is what it is. Just like communication is important, just like being honest is important, just like trust and being compatible is important, so is being mature emotionally. Immaturity in your emotions of just one person in the relationship will ruin that entire relationship for good. But emotional maturity in relationship, on the other hand, will make you work through conflicts with understanding, and it'll keep you from leaving all this wreckage behind. By the way, this is how bitterness grows. Bitterness grows when people hold on to all the wreckage that was left behind from all the division and all the tensions from emotional immaturity. An emotional immature person will find it difficult to communicate with others in their life. He or she will never understand that a genuine, healthy, loving relationship requires mutual respect, trust, and no drama. And this demands that people be mature in their emotions. Now, if this message is making you think, man, maybe I'm the immature one in the relationship, maybe I'm the one who needs to work on my emotional maturity, then I would say this is true for all of us. We all have moments in our life when we become very immature in our emotions. We all have moments in our life when we should not have said it and we said it anyway. We shouldn't have thought it and we thought it anyway. And we should not have reacted that way, but we reacted that way anyway. And so this is really for all of us. But if you're thinking this is for you, it's for all of us. And it just means that we all need to work on the maturity of our emotions. So just to identify some signs today, I want to share a few things with you. And I really think these things will help you out, because as I share these warning signs with you, I'm also going to give you some keys to help deal with them. So the first one is this. This is a good sign that you're not mature enough in your emotions. You get jealous all the time. I've met people who get jealous about anything. They'll get jealous if their group of friends have a get together and they don't invite you. That's just emotional immaturity. I've met people who will get jealous with their spouse or the person that they're dating when they have to spend time with other family members because it's a necessity, and that's a non-threatening relationship. Listen, sometimes we all get jealous if there's a threatening relationship, but a lot of times when people get jealous over non-threatening relationships, it's just a sign of being immature. It's not good or healthy to live jealous all the time. So here's the key. Instead of always focusing on how your interests are not being met first, focus on their interests first, and this will always soften your heart. The next warning sign is this: you hold grudges. Hey, listen, couples fight, people fight. Relationships have tensions. Friendships have tensions. Your relationship will make you feel upset sometimes because you're going to go through difficult times in that relationship. You're going to hit bumpy roads in that relationship, but that doesn't mean you should hold on to grudges. Holding on to grudges never works out for anyone, and it's a big sign of immaturity. Holding on to grudges won't do your relationship any good. It'll just ruin what you have. If someone apologizes to you, accept it, forgive them, and move on. It says a lot about someone if they're slow to forgive. It says a lot about someone's maturity if they're slow to forgive. It says a lot about someone's selfishness if they're slow to forgive. It says a lot about someone's love if they're slow to forgive. It says a lot about someone just as a person if they're slow to forgive. Say, Tony, what does it say? It says that they're an emotionally immature person. Say, Tony, what do I do? I have a hard time letting go of grudges. Here's the key. If you're ready for it, say, I'm ready. Don't just focus on your interests first. Instead, focus on their interests first, and this will always, always, always soften your heart. The next thing is this. You never or you reluctantly apologize. This is a big sign of emotional immaturity. When people are too proud to say I'm wrong, when people are too proud to say I spoke out of turn, when people are too proud to say, man, I was wrong about that and I'm sorry, would you please forgive me? It says that someone is controlled by pride and immaturity if they can't bring themselves to say, man, I was the one that was wrong in this situation. The key to this is always stop focusing on how they're not meeting your interests and focus on how you can meet their interests, and that'll always soften your heart. And when your heart is soft, you will apologize quickly and often because you know you're not always the victim. If you're still with me, say, I'm still with you. The next one is this. This is a big sign of being emotionally immature. You're impatient. Do you ever get frustrated with traffic, being sick, your circumstances, your storms, something going on in your life, and then you immediately start taking it out on the other person that you're with? This is immaturity. This is not rational behavior. Being restless for every little thing in your relationship indicates that you're not mature enough for a relationship. Listen, be patient. If things in your relationship right now are not the way that you thought they should be, the way you expect them to be patient. Things change. Relationships go through seasons. Things will work out if you hold on and just be patient, but relationships take time. Some of you are frustrated and annoyed right now with the people in your life because, listen to me, you're frustrated way too easily and you get annoyed way too easily. I meet people all the time who always talk about the other people in their life like they're annoying them and they're just a drag and they're exhausting to them. And 9 times out of 10, it's not a problem with them. It's a problem with you because you're frustrated too easily and you're annoyed too easily and you're upset too easily with the other people in your life because it's you. It's your emotions. It's your issues that you're not dealing with. And so you fly off the handle just like that, or you get frustrated just like that, or you get annoyed just like that over behavior that's not really annoying. When non-annoying people in your life annoy you, it's not their problem, it's your problem. Say, Tony, how do I deal with this? How do I fix this? What's the key? You got to flip it around just like Jesus. Instead of only focusing on how they're not meeting your interests, or instead of just focusing on your interests first, focus on meeting their needs and their interests first, and this will always, always, always soften your heart. The next one is this, and this is a big one. You try to change your partner. Trying to change your partner's personality is not very mature at all. By the way, wasn't it their individuality that caused you to fall in love with him in the first place? Wasn't who they were and how unique they were what drew you to them in a friendship or even in a romantic relationship in the first place? Why do you want to change them? No one wants to be a part of a relationship for very long if they're with someone who's always evaluating and correcting, and trying to change the other person instead of trying to find out what their hurts are, what their needs are, what their interests are. Instead of loving them for them, you try to change them into how you want them to be. And trying to change other people into how you want them to be is really a sign that you don't love who they are. You love the idea of them, and you love what they may could give you if you can turn them into who you want them to be. But that's not fair, and that's not how relationships work. Relationships are a partnership. When you bring someone else into your life, it's not just your life anymore. Now it's both of y'all's lives. It's y'all's life. Pardon my Southern English there. It's y'all's life. And so it's not just your life, and it's not just your needs, and it's not just your interests, but it belongs to both of y'all. And so trying to change the other person just to make them fit your needs is a big sign of being immature. So Tony, how do I overcome this? Because I'm always trying to do this. Well, here's the key. Again, you flip it around like Jesus. Instead of focusing on your interests first, focus on theirs first, and this will always soften your heart. The next one is this. This is a big warning sign of being emotionally immature. You're selfish. When you're in love, you don't mind putting the needs of the other person first. When you love somebody, you don't mind putting the needs of the other person first. But when it comes to an immature person, the only thing they can think about is me, 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 me. Selfishness, being self-centered. Anytime someone's selfish, it's a big sign that they're an immature person in their emotions. A healthy relationship requires a team effort. It has to be about the two of you and not just one of you. So Tony, how do I fix this? Here's the key. Instead of just focusing on your interests, focus on their interests first, and this will always soften your heart. And then the next one is this. You avoid talking about the future. Meaningful friendships and meaningful relationships are not flings, and they're not options in your life. Let me say that again. Meaningful friendships and meaningful relationships, especially romantic relationships, are not flings, and they're not options in your life. They are commitments in your life. And I've met so many people who get so uncomfortable when trying to talk about the future and the future of a relationship. If a relationship is gonna be important to you, then both of you need to know where it's going. And so it's very healthy to talk about the future. Immature people who don't wanna talk about the future say this one big thing about their life. If you're ready for it, say, I'm ready. They say this when they can't talk about the future: that they don't even trust themselves. They may not trust you fully, but one of the reasons why they can't literally talk about where this relationship is headed is because they don't even trust themselves. They don't even know what their next move is gonna be. So they don't even know if they're really committed. And this is a sure sign that this person is not ready to be in a relationship at all. Wisdom always says that there absolutely will be a tomorrow, and you have to live like there is a tomorrow. Wisdom always says, don't speak your mind first. Don't just let your emotions off of your chest first. Wisdom always says, think before you speak. Hold it back before you react. Hold it in before you act out. This is wisdom, and this is what people who are mature and their emotions do. You say, well, Tony, if I'm having this problem about not being able to commit, not being able to trust, not being able to even trust myself, what do I do and what should I do? Here's the key. This is the key. Do what Jesus did. When Jesus came to this earth, he had a life to live. He had people that loved him. He had people that wanted to have deep, meaningful relationships with him. He could have done anything that he wanted to do in this life. He could have made his own path. But when he came here in love, because the Bible says that God is love, and love is self-sacrificing. And so the reason why he came here in love was to do a loving thing. And the loving thing that he did was this. He put my needs in your needs. He put my interest in your interests ahead of his. He put ours first and his second. And then they nailed him to the cross because he flipped it around. And why did he do that? Because he loves. He loves. And this is what love does. Love will cause you to pause when you're being selfish, not act out. Love will cause you to pause when you're being immature in your emotions, not act out. Love will cause you to pause when you feel like you can't trust or when you're jealous, not act out, so you can see clearly what love calls you to do. And love always calls you to do this in relationships. Stop focusing on your interests first and only, and put their needs and their interests first. And when you do this, it'll soften your heart. And so the next time anger tries to tempt you, it won't win. The next time jealousy tries to tempt you, it won't win. The next time frustration tries to tempt you, it won't win. It only wins when your heart is made of stone. But when you soften your heart by putting their needs first, that's when you overcome. I hope this has helped you out today. Let me pray for you very quickly. Father, we love you. We thank you for speaking to us today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for loving us first, and that's why we love you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. And all God's people said, thank you for tuning in. We hope you have a great week. Hope to see you back this week as we post more videos. We love you.
We want to thank you so, so much for joining us for today's online experience. If you found this experience encouraging, or if you have a prayer request, make sure you drop that in the comments down below. If you want to further partner with the church, there's four simple ways to do so. The first way is you can give online. You can visit watersedgegathering.com and click on giving. From there, you'll be led to eGive, our online giving platform. Or you can text to give. You can text or give to 337-223-9003. From there, you can enter your dollar amount, and then you'll be led to on-screen instructions. Or you can give within the church app. Make sure you download the church app and search Water's Edge Gathering. From there, click on giving, where you can give your tithes and offerings. Or you can give through the mail. You can do so by mailing Water's Edge Gathering at P.O. Box 572, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70602, or Water's Edge Gathering at 2760 Power Center Parkway, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70607. We want to say happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. We love you guys. We hope you guys have a great week.